Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to IMC's conference call to discuss the results for the fourth quarter 2024. This conference call is being recorded and the presentation is available at the company's website. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the presentation. Ensuing this, we will go on to the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. As a reminder, forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them. At this conference, we have Mr. Alexandre Santoro, the CEO of IMC. I will turn the floor over to Mr. Santoro. You may proceed. Thank you, Carol. A good morning, and thank you all very much for connecting to our conference call for the fourth quarter and full year of 2024 for IMC. I think most of you know that yesterday was a very important day for us. We not only released results, but we created a joint venture to speed up the results of the company in Brazil. Now, before giving you details, I would like to take the opportunity to thank Rafael Bolsolano for the partnership during all these years. We are very thankful for his contribution to IMC. We wish him a great deal of success in his new personal challenges. I take advantage to welcome Natalia, who is our new partner and CFO, and officially will become part of the company next week. We're satisfied with the arrival of Natalia. We have an intense agenda ahead of us, and her energy will add a great deal to the IMC team. Welcome, Natalia. To go back to the presentation, we begin with the results call per se. And I would like to offer you a brief recap of what we have built in the last few years at IMC and how the announcements made yesterday are connected with this trajectory and strategy that we are pursuing. We are on slide number 2 to remind you a bit about this evolution. When we arrived here almost 4 years ago, we had a very big dream, which was to transform IMC in the best and most efficient food or meal platform in Brazil. Now, to turn this dream into reality, we set forth a clear strategy sustained on fundamental pillars for the transformation. This approach tries to balance operational discipline with the right dose of innovation, guarantee relevance and growth in the short term, but also the construction of a sound and sustainable future. Our mission is to offer exceptional experience to our customers, and this is what drives the increase of the base and frequency of our consumers at our stores. The greatest strength of IMC lies in its brands that are acknowledged, admired, and above all, desired by the consumers. What is more important is that we have a great deal of space to grow, so that we're merely beginning to unharness. As we show you in the first slide, consistently, we have had improvements in our results for the fourth consecutive year. We have grown EBITDA and our margins. And I'm convinced that we are on the right path in this. We continue to be committed with discipline and execution and confident that we're on the right track to reach our goals in the short term. Now, to refer more specifically to the results of last year and the quarter, we are now going to slide number 3. 2024 was a year where the revenues were below what we had planned. And we know that the evolution in our results, although having been positive, could have been perhaps more significant. The negative highlight, IMC faced a problem in the supply chain in April. We were strongly impacted by the tragedy, the rainfalls in Rio Grande do Sul. We have relevant operations for KFC and others. But when we look at the figures for 2024, we had a growth of 5.5% in the revenue and operations in Brazil. The consolidated figures impacted negatively by the figures in the US, a decrease of 2% in the revenues. Now, this impact on the portfolio is due to the closing of low-performance stores that directly impacted our base of comparison. IMC had a growth of 3% in same-store sales, perhaps due to greater selectivity in our promotions through aggregators for delivery. This had a strong impact on sales, same-store sales. The growth of counter transactions that were positive were not sufficient to offset the drop. Now, in parallel, we made efforts to use the corporate structures and to enhance internal structures. This led to a reduction of 8.3% in G&A vis-à-vis the year 2023. The sum of these initiatives would included more selective sales and enhancement in gross margin and a reduction of G&A and the closure of negative performance stores. Now, this combination of factors gave way to our adjusted EBITDA that had a growth of 14% vis-à-vis the last year, with a margin of 3.6%, 146 basis points, consolidating this growth trajectory for the fourth consecutive year. We ended the year with a controlled level of indebtedness and 2.4 times leverage net debt. Now, to speak a bit about revenues, the first part of the next slide, we see that the company ends the year with 614 stores. This is the net effect. As I mentioned, we closed some stores, inaugurated others. The net impact is a growth of 39. Now, all of this driven by AFC and negatively offset with the closure of some units, as I have already mentioned. When we go to the next slide, we see the net operating revenues. We get to 2.2 billion, a growth of 2%. We closed down 15 operations, representing 91 million approximately. And were it not for that, the revenues would have been approximately 6%. Now, this partially explains the reason why the revenue had a 2% growth. Now, the other part is due to the same-store sales performance that I will explain in greater detail throughout the presentation. At the end of the year, Brazil with a growth of approximately 6%, in the US, a reduction of approximately 5% due to the closure of stores and also same-store sales. When we speak about the United States, I will offer you more details that had an impact on the third and fourth comparison because the comparison base of 2023 was very strong. We go on to slide number six to speak about EBITDA, an evolution of gross margin, greater selection in promotions and campaigns, a reduction of G&A of approximately 8%, and a close of companies of deficit, taking us to 14% adjusted EBITDA. We have stronger growth in Brazil with 27% growth year-on-year, United States with a growth of 3%. Now, on slide number seven, well, in the last few lines, you can see the financial impacts. Our cash generation is very aligned with that of last year, and the same happens with our CapEx. Well, in CapEx, it's important to underscore that almost half of that CapEx was geared to the expansion and renovation of the KFC stores. We continue with controlled indebtedness and a well-managed debt structure. For 2025, what we have, the investments only began in the fourth quarter, and we have sound ground for that in the second and third quarters. Historically, due to seasonality, IMC has a higher cash generation. Very well, we will continue with the presentation, speaking about our business units in the USA on slides number 8 and 9. Once again, we refer to the USA. Now, the performance in USA is below what was expected, below the potential of the brand in that region for three reasons that I underscore: the closure of the operations of San Antonio and Las Vegas, impacting total sales when compared to the last quarter. In Las Vegas, this is due to the lack of renovation of a leasing that I explained in the former call. In San Antonio, we made the decision to close the store. It was a low-performance store with a deficit because of the high occupancy costs. Regarding the growth of new stores, we have highly relevant stores, the more recent stores in New York, Atlanta, Miami, and Boston, all of which are still on the maturing curve. Now, these stores have potential for more than to offset the closure of the operations I have just mentioned. And in the third quarter, we had an atypical base of comparison. The third and fourth quarters last year were impacted by a non-recurring effect, the passing of the singer Jimmy Buffett, something that we truly regret. And at the time, he was the owner of Landshark and another brand. And of course, there was commotion over his passing, which reduced the flow in our stores, creating a more complicated base of comparison. And finally, we see an adverse market scenario in the USA. If you follow up on the other brands in the US, very generally, the second half of the year was a very difficult year in terms of sales in the traditional brands, reporting negative same-store sales. We have several actions that are underway, and our significant focus is to increase the flow of traffic at our stores, adjusting the product offers, price, entertainment, and of course, all of this will depend on the reality of each store. This is the summary for the United States. In the next slide, we see our domestic brands along with a catering business. This is on slide number 10. We had strong performance. We had a growth of 20% same-store sales. A highlight for the airport operations, the opening of the Salvador Filho Airport was, of course, a positive point. But we were also able to renegotiate some contracts throughout the half of the year with a positive impact on the last quarter with the acquisition of a business that is temporary but helped us in the catering business to enhance revenues as well as the results of that business unit. We have evolved in terms of service in the operations of these brands, and this, of course, translates into positive evolution. Let's speak about Pizza Hut, which is an iconic, well-recognized, and loved brand by the consumers, where we still have several opportunities for improvement in revenue, in store formats, and of course, in profitability. I tend to say that our Pizza Hut business today is smaller than the brand. The brand is a large brand with enormous potential. Our business continues to grow with the potential of really taking leaps. Now, the digital sales are an important part, but There was a slight retraction year on year because of the selectivity of our promotion. The app, I'm sorry, for the brand has had a positive flow. We have a new partner at present. We're betting strongly on that enhancement of our app so that we can continue to enhance the service levels for the end consumer, ensuring that the experience will be easier without any friction whatsoever. Another point before concluding, we have worked jointly with International Pizza Hut to develop new formats, always thinking and testing alternatives to optimize CapEx and OpEx, with the goal of expanding this brand primarily through franchises. Now, this approach will enable us to have faster growth and will allow for a better capital allocation. Very well, let's continue the presentation on slide 13, where we speak about our price Frango Asado. We had significant advance in the profitability of the Frango Asado network in 2024, a control of costs and expenses in the operations. And although we had a negative impact in working days due to a higher incidence of festive days vis-à-vis 2023, we closed down three operations that were not aligned with the strategy and had a very high occupation cost. These were three stores. Our focus is and will continue to be enhancing the experience of our consumers, of our clients. And of course, we have adopted some measures. We are renovating the main stores. We're also working on developing new formats like Frango Asado Express and increasing the visibility of these stores on highways. These renovations are part of a broader strategy to streamline and make the stores ever more attractive for our consumers. We're fully redesigning the customer experience, allied to our expansion plan. Now, the digital part of Frango Asado underwent a revolution. We increased our digital sales considerably. We launched a loyalty program. We have 400,000 people registered, and these customers are very loyal as part of this program. This is a measure that increases recurrency of customers. And of course, we want to attract ever more consumers to our stores. The interesting transaction here is to see that we have the self-checkout in the stores that represent more than 75% of checkout transactions at these stores. We have also made great strides in terms of product innovation, and this will continue to be a focus, always on innovation, enhancement of experience, and the quality of the products sold at the store. Now, the opportunities for growth, for expansion of Frango Asado is enormous, and we're more focused than ever before in exploring these opportunities. To give you an example, the store conversion, it's a smart way of growing the business with a lower CapEx, as we just did in the case of the new Frango Asado of Guararema. We're not only occupying space in an existing point on the highway, but we have already carried out a conversion vis-à-vis the competitor. So we're more and more focused on the performance and potential of the Frango Asado business. We now will speak about KFC to speak about performance, but also I will take this moment to speak about what we announced yesterday, the creation of a JV. We begin with the results. We see that KFC has evolved, has grown considerably through the years. We have 230 stores in the country. The sales in the KFC system had a growth of 26% this year, digital sales with a growth of 86%. Now, this rate of growth also poses operational challenges. We see several opportunities for enhancement, and in the maturity of the new stores and changes for the future, where we will have a greater presence of street stores. Now, delivery through aggregators had a drop. We had an increase in absolute value, but as we increased the number of stores, the sales per store dropped. Now, delivery is important to enhance profitability. It's important for the company results. We interrupted some promotions, sandwiches, along with free freight, but this represented a significant loss of sales, higher than we had planned. And same-store sales for the year did not grow. We're quite focused on readjusting this strategy to have a better balance between sales and profitability, which, of course, is our focus. Another important point regarding KFC is that we have the opportunity of redesigning campaigns, promotions, and a good example of this is the new campaign of two sandwiches for 1990 BRL, very well accepted among consumers. This is a good example of balance. It's a partnership we have with suppliers of being creative and offering alternatives at a somewhat lower cost and transferring that cost improvement directly to the consumer to bring in more traffic to our stores. Well, with this, I end the part of 2024 regarding results. And as we're speaking of KFC, I would like to go into greater details about this joint venture, which is the goal, the impacts, and of course, how this process was structured and how it will operate. Well, the goal of the deal is a very clear goal. We created a joint venture with a strategic partner to drive the growth of KFC. It's not in vain that we have brought in a strategic partner. It's not a financial partner. It's a capitalized partner that is strategic with vast experience and know-how in the issue. The partner operates in several countries in the United States and has 550 KFC stores. So we're dealing with a group with sound experience, with sound financials, and of course, with experience in execution. How was this JF executed? Now, what is this KFC operation in Brazil? We have owned stores plus a master franchise contract where we have IMC with all of the franchisees in Brazil. Now, the franchisees don't contribute anything. They continue on with their relationship in the company. What happens is that this JV that we have created, we're going to sell part of this deal, equivalent to 50.8% to this new partner, which is Kentucky Foods. This for $35 million. Now we're contributing the assets to the contract, our own assets. This is the company. We're valuing the company in $60 million. We sell 58.3% of the company, equivalent to $35 million. Now, what is important to underscore here is that this transaction, as it evaluated KFC in Brazil at $60 million, this is the present-day market value of IMC, equivalent to 50% of the former enterprise, the value of the company IMC. Now, how will this JV operate? We contribute with the assets in the deal. the KFC assets, and we sell 58.3% stake. We're selling the control, of course, of the company. Now, it will be up to the partner to lead the real expansion, the day-to-day operations of the business, and contribute the capital needed for the growth of KFC in Brazil. Now, IMC will not follow up on future capitalizations, but will continue as a partner with 41.7% stake. IMC will offer back-office administrative support to the new JV. And of course, we will work in alignment and a strategic partnership with all of the franchisees. Which are the benefits that KFC gets from this? It's a union of two very experienced operators with deep knowledge of the brand. This will allow for a gain of scale, better practices, and skill and efficiency in our supply chain. We're bringing together a group of operators with more than 550 restaurants, 250 in Brazil. We're speaking of a partnership of almost 800 restaurants. Clearly, there will be a benefit in the entire supply chain. And when it comes to operations, of course, we will be sharing best practices. Another benefit for KFC is that the JV will be fully capitalized with a team that will be fully focused on operating KFC and with enormous avenues for growth. I spoke about the benefits for KFC. Now let's look at IMC. Why is this deal positive for IMC? Because of the valuation. One of our businesses is half of the old IMC enterprise. We still have Frango Asado. We have the business in the United States generating cash. We have Pizza Hut business, the catering brands like Vienna. So we have a brand portfolio, and this simply reinforces what I said about the opportunities. Now, the sum of our businesses at present is worth more than the whole, of course. And well, there is proof of that. We had already given you proof of that in the past when we sold a store in the United States for $13.5 million. That happened at the beginning of 2024. So there's that issue of the valuation, the sale of 58.3% for $35 million. These $35 million are secondary. They come to IMC for the sale of our stake, and they will be used as a priority to reduce our debt and to deleverage the company. There's another interesting point. The KFC business generates cash. The operating results are positive, and because of the fact that it is a brand that grows considerably in the last 4 years, we increased the size fourfold. Therefore, it has a significant support structure, and part of our G&A is part of that business. When we conclude this transaction, we will no longer consolidate the results of KFC. We won't have an EBITDA coming from KFC, but we will be allocating into G&A a reduction. There will be a reduction in our G&A, and we will render services that will be paid for because of the back office support. What we expect at the end of this is that the EBITDA impact on the company will not be considerably. It should be less than 10% of the present day EBITDA. Taking into account these factors, we will no longer consolidate EBITDA, but we will allocate G&A to the JV for service rendering. Another benefit is a significant reduction of the need for future CapEx. I mentioned that a little more than half of our CapEx every year was earmarked for KFC. This will no longer be done by IMC. It will be done by JV, and it will be capitalized by the partner. So I reinforce that the focus is to reduce indebtedness, to deleverage the company, because of the macroeconomic moment, and speed up the growth of other brands in our portfolio, always respecting our financial discipline and, of course, having an appropriate return. To conclude, we continue to be a partner in the JV. We truly believe in KFC. We believe in the partnership, in the partnership with Kentucky, and this business will be worth much more in coming years. It will be in very good hands because of the partnership. So there is that upside throughout the years with the evolution of KFC. I have carried out some deals in my life, and I can calmly say that this is a win-win deal for everybody involved. For us, for a partner who is entering Brazil, for Yum that sees the brand grow, for the consumers that will have even more opportunities of consuming this product, higher convenience for employees that have the opportunity to grow, and our franchisees. This is a good deal. It will generate thousands of jobs in the coming years, and we're quite satisfied with the signature of this joint venture. And of course, we're now faced with a significant workload. The conclusion of this operation should happen at the beginning of the third quarter. We're very confident about our decision and the design of this partnership. Very well. I've spoken at length about the JV, and it is something transformational for us. To conclude, we several priorities. I can reinforce at the end that we're going to continue to seek strategic alternatives to generate value for the shareholder without losing side of what is essential moving forward in our operational efficiency. This is a day-to-day operation without destruction, distraction, I'm sorry, and of course, enhance the experience of our customers. We're aware of the challenges and the opportunities that lie ahead, but we're confident in the strides we have made and on the path we have chosen to follow. The consistency of our strategy, the strength of our brand, the quality of our team and franchisees will take us ever closer to our dream to be the best food platform in the country. With this, I would like to end the presentation and return the floor to Carol so that we can go on to the question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session for investors and analysts. Should you wish to pose a question, please write in your name and company in the Q&A icon or click on raise hand. Please hold while we poll for questions. We already have some questions in hand. I begin with Emerson, an investor. Congratulations for your 2024 results. We continue to have confidence in the company, and the last few years have been challenging. We see efficiency in cash generation. We would like to know if you're going to pay out dividends. Thank you, Emerson, for the question. Well, the company continues to evolve. During the presentation, we focused on that considerably. We are a company that does generate cash, but we have a debt that has a cost, and part of the cash generation is geared towards paying for the debt, and another part to fund the CapEx and the expansion. That makes sense in this business that is still evolving. This deal with KFC addresses this issue. We're going to reduce our debt, and upon reducing our debt, we decrease those financial expenses we have annually with interest rates, and we also reduce our need for future CapEx. These two factors will enhance the foundations of IMC as a whole. And for the coming years, there are still many opportunities for growth. We always have a discussion in terms of which is the best way to allocate capital. We see several opportunities for our business, and throughout the years, we allocate our capital in areas that will provide higher returns for our shareholders. We have a question from Ricardo. Morning, can you give us more details on the expansion, the opening of stores, the size of stores? Ricardo, thank you for the question. Frango Assado has enormous potential throughout the country. As a principal at IMC, we tend to be very focused. We believe in the power of being focused. Now, if we look at the state of São Paulo presently and the enormous highways that connect to Rio de Janeiro, Minas Gerais, Rio Grande do Sul, or the hinterlands of São Paulo, going all the way to Mato Grosso, there are plenty of opportunities. First of all, we're going to prioritize these circuits, Dutra, Fernão Dias, Bandeirantes highways. These are the main priorities, Castelo Branco Highway. These are our priorities in terms of regions. When it comes to store formats, at present, we have 23 stores with very different profiles. We have large stores, Carvalho Pinto, Cajamar, Diadema, and other smaller stores. Now, our priority, given the potential that still exists on highways, and those who travel know that there are opportunities to have a safe stop, quality food, with clean bathrooms, and with safety especially. Now we look at the format of large stores as still having a great deal of opportunity in that circuit. We haven't spoken outside of the state of São Paulo yet. What we want in terms of the future for Frango Assado is to prioritize these large stores in those axes that I have just mentioned. To give you an idea of how disproportional a large store is compared to medium and small stores, with 8 or 10 stores, they're equivalent to the large stores we have. There's potential for much more than that, but if we could open 10 stores in the next decade, we could double the size of invoicing and profit. So the path to clearly respond to your question, the strategy for Frango Assado is to be highly selective in terms of the sites, to look for large sites. It's not the number of stores, but the quality and the efficiency of the stores that matter. Thank you for the question. There's a question from Bruno. When will you begin your participation in the KFC operation? From Clave Capital. We believe that the closing will take place at the beginning of the third quarter. This is a scenario we're working with presently. In the closing, we have $12.5 million that will become part of our cash, and we have $22.5 million that we will receive further ahead in 2027. What will we do with that? We will put $12.5 million in cash. And as we have that letter for $22.5 million of a top-line bank, we don't think it will be difficult to monetize this at a reasonable discount. This is what we want to do with the cash that will come in from our stake. Thank you very much for the question. We have another question from Mateus. Congratulations for your KFC sale. And the question is there the intention to bring down a new business to Brazil? Well, given that I spoke about the valuation of IMC, if it's worthwhile thinking about share buyback. Now, we don't have the plan to bring down another brand to Brazil. We understand that our brand portfolio at present has a higher potential that we're able to put in place. Well, you heard that explanation of KFC to address this. And by carrying out the deal, we will be able to further explore the other brands that we have in the portfolio. This is our priority. And the buyback of shares, this is not something that we're thinking about presently. Our focus is to reduce the leverage and the company indebtedness. Roberto Duque from ABC. Thank you for the question, Roberto. And I think we have an additional question, which is the CapEx, I believe. Well, I will read out the first question and attempt to answer the other questions. With the JV, will only the new partner contribute with capital? So in truth, we have two questions here. In first place, yes, Roberto, we begin the partnership at 58-42% stakes. Upon the closure, there will be a capitalization to face the investments and growth, and that is when we're going to split up. We're not going to follow up on this. Logic is that with each capitalization, the company will be worth more. Percentage will be lower in a larger business. And for IMC, we understand that this equation will end up being very positive. Now, when speaking about CapEx, I mentioned this, it will be approximately half. Well, some years it was somewhat more. But this is the pace of 60 million reais, 50, 60 million reais per year. Thank you very much for your questions, Roberto. Our next question comes through audio from Eduardo Timotheo from ABC Capital. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My question refers to the transaction, the JV. If there's a change in the number of stores you have to open, or is there a negotiation underway between yourselves and the new partner? If you could better clarify what these back office services are about for the joint venture. And about the last question, which is your expectation of annual dilution with this level of opening and growth of stores and with the new CapEx, of course? Eduardo from Titan Capital. Thank you for your question. I'll begin speaking about number of stores. As I mentioned, this is a deal carried out at three hands with a new partner and with Aeon. Now, what we imagine will happen naturally is a growth curve that is very similar to the one we have had in terms of the openings. There won't be a change, there will be an evolution. We will open up more stores, perhaps, but with a curve that was negotiated. Now, what is important to answer your question? The profile of the stores that will be opened will change considerably. We have 230 stores. They're mainly found in malls. And now we will tend to grow more on the streets and also have on drive-through stores, have a higher individual CapEx, but also have a higher return. So it's not only the number of stores, but the speed of growth of revenues. When making investments in street stores, the revenues per store are higher compared to the stores in shopping malls. There is an agreement, therefore, and the agreement foresees continuous growth to capture opportunities in Brazil at a pace that is not very different than the one we were having for some years, and then an acceleration of this growth. Now, regarding your second question about back office services, we have some areas. A single procurement area, for example, and initially we're going to continue buying for all of the businesses we have. Another example is the accounting part, the financial part, treasury control, cash, all of that day-to-day accounting initially will continue operating as a subsidiary of IMC, working with our support. And of course, these services will have a specific cost for the partner, and we will be reimbursed for those costs. Now, this company will become large enough to justify having those roles allocated directly to the JV so as not to lose synergy. And in all areas where there is synergy with IMC to not increase the cost of the JV, we will continue here rendering these services and be paid for them. Now, this decrease will depend on the capital contribution. But the way that we look upon this, the way we calculate this, is the economic value of this participation will not drop. We will have a lower stake, but the business will be more capitalized in the long term. Thank you very much for the question. Thank you. That was very good. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, click on the Q&A icon or the raise hand icon. Hold while we pull for more questions. Luis, another question? Three questions in truth. Which is the mindset of the company to enhance margins and which are the measures you are taking? Well, Luis, we have several measures, as you can imagine. Each brand ends up having its own plan, its promotion calendar, and innovation calendar. But very generally, the significant challenge for this year, and in all brands, we have been working arduously, and this is to increase traffic in our stores. What does this mean? Having consumers visit us more frequently. I can give you some examples. At KFC, when we created a new occasion, as we did with the wrap and a salad bowl, You create that opportunity of reaching customers you did not reach previously and change the frequency of their visits. Wraps, for example, is something for the afternoon. This translates into higher sales for the store, diluting the cost and the operational leverage. In Pizza Hut, situation is not different. As I said, Pizza Hut is a very strong brand. We hear from customers saying, you only buy one pizza from Pizza Hut. This is something we want to change. We want people to think of pizza and think of us, not as a niche within pizzas. So we have been developing this. We have to be more present, having a thin crust, more similar to the sales we have in the rest of Brazil. We have a large concentration of consumption of pizzas on weekends, and we have developed melts as if there were calzone wraps, individual portions, pasta. So there are several innovations and opportunities when it comes to sales. And of course, the image, super discipline in doing this. With things that will bring in sales, but also enhance our margin. We don't want to compromise our margin in this case. And I go back to the operational leverage, adjusting labor per store, having the right negotiation for the cost of occupation, which has a significant weight in Frango Assado, to give you an example. This is a business where the margins have evolved. If you look at the 4 years, we have had a significant evolution. We have enhanced the product quality. The central kitchen is important. We control the production of several different products, and we are able to have competitive prices without leaving quality aside. So I hope to have answered part of your question. The second question. If we can expect new transactions to harness value of the company, other operations, reductions like in the United States. Well, you can imagine a deal like this one and what it demanded, a lot of creativity, energy, time, and skill to conceive it as it ended up being designed. Of course, we're always open and serving opportunities and alternatives that make sense for us. United States, a specific question. We believe that we made significant investments in the stores of New York, Miami, Boston, Atlanta. And this CapEx is, will be remunerated. It's not a time to think about doing anything there. The moment is to increase the results of these stores. And in the future, we'll consider growth alternatives for the U.S. operation. But presently, there won't be any other transactions. Finally, the question of Pizza Hut. I think I mentioned this in my presentation, the opening mix, own store mix. Luiz, we're imagining growth focused considerably on franchises. We're working to redesign the store profile, CapEx, optimize the menu to have an even better CapEx and to attract ever more franchisees. Thank you for the questions. Leo from VC Capital. It's an impact of 10% on EBITDA, the EBITDA ex IFRS. So the impact is lower than 10% of the EBITDA we announced here, which is a post IFRS EBITDA. Now, the KFC business. We spoke about the financial valuation, of course, and the value lies more in the future, not in the present. Obviously, because of the growth potential in the discussion, we didn't speak of EBITDA multiples. Very well. The second question, future dilutions, if they have a predefined valuation. Yes, the company will be capitalized, and depending on the value of the capitalization, there's a formula for subsequent years. We did take that into account. A question and answer session ends here. We would like to return the floor to the company CEO, Mr. Alexandre Santoro, for the closing remarks.
Well, thank you, Carol. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for your attendance. I also thank you for the questions. It's always positive when we receive several questions. It helps us to clarify everything. Despite this, we are at your entire disposal. Should you have any more questions, we have had 1 hour of call. And to close and to maintain our tradition, in the last slide, you have a promotion that you cannot miss. Two sandwiches for 19.90 reais. You're not going to regret this. Don't miss this. Have a good lunch. Thank you once again for your attendance and participation in this call today. The IMC conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your attendance. Have a very good day.